Thank you, Jeff. I do want to ask for an interest in your prayers. Anybody that does know me knows I'm a person of few words, so I may end up reading quite a bit. And I made it a matter of prayer the last few weeks when I might preach. And I have the same scriptures coming back to me. And I know they're real familiar scriptures, so I keep praying about it. That if they're not what I'm to bring forth, that the Lord would put on my mind those other things. But again, it's the same scriptures that keep coming to my mind. And again, I know they're familiar to each one of us. And maybe it's because of the, like brothers had said yesterday, the time of our Lord's resurrection, or the things that are maybe happening around us in the world today. And maybe just the way that the Lord has touched me in my life. And one of the things I want to bring out a few scriptures on tonight is on love. And I know I have felt that love from my Heavenly Father. And I felt that love from my brothers and sisters. I've had quite a few things happen to me in my life. I know that the Lord has brought me through them all. And I know that the prayers and the love of brothers and sisters have helped me through them. The first one I'd like to read is probably the most familiar scripture we have, most read. But I know that the Lord has given them to us to bring forth. And that's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that verse stayed on me somewhat, I believe, too, because a statement one of our sisters had made years ago. It was Sister Amy Schrader. And it was at a prayer meeting at the East Local. And she said, I wonder if we can really realize the love that the Lord has for us. Can we really realize that love? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And we know that light was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For everyone that doeth evil hateth that light, neither cometh to that light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And I kind of think we see that again in the world today. But he that doeth truth cometh to that light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And I know that's where our love is. And we want that love there. Also in 1 John It's another scripture that kept coming back to me. 1 John, the 4th chapter. And I think I'll start with May the 7th verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And I know that's where Heavenly Father wants us, that love for another, that love for those around us. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Herein is that love, that not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And again, I know I have felt that love for my brothers and sisters, that love for each other, and that love for our Heavenly Father, and that desire to serve him. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is in the world, as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love. And I know that's where the Lord wants us. In the day and the time that we live in, the things we may face, he doesn't want us to fear, but have that love, that trust, that obedience in him. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And again, I know that is a desire of each one of us, that love for the Lord, that love for one another. And I know I have seen that in his church. And going into the 5th chapter, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandment. And if we do have that love, it's going to show in the way we lead our lives, the things we do, the way we treat each other, treat those around us. It's going to show in our lives. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And we know that he has given us his scriptures, his commandments to lead us and direct us here. He knew the things that we would be faced with, come in contact with. And he has given that to us. But it's up to us to be following them, to be doing them, to be following the commandments and the scriptures that he has given to us to lead us and direct us in this time that we have before him, that he has given us. And again, I know that is the desire of each one here. That's why we're here. I'd like to also go into John, the 14th chapter. And this again is another scripture that stayed on my mind as I was making it a matter of prayer for tonight. John, the 14th chapter, starting with the first verse. Let not your heart be troubled. And when I look at that, it's again telling me not to fear in this time that we have here before the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And to me, again, that shows that great love, that he has gone to prepare a place for us. And I ask myself at times if what this will be like, what that place will be like. But to me, the important things is that I'll be with the Lord there. That's the important thing. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Again, I believe that love. He has gone to prepare a place for us and tells us, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and receive you unto myself. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. And I'd like to drop down to the 12th verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And again, that should just lift us up. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. And I know each one of us had felt that Spirit, the loving Spirit from our Heavenly Father, has helped us and led us in this life. And the 18th verse, again, I believe shows that love. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. I look at that, and he will not leave us alone. He will come. His Spirit will be with us to lead us and direct us if we depend upon him and let his Spirit have place in us and follow him. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And I know that's where each one of us want to be. Be following again those scriptures, the commandments that the Lord has given unto us. Again, knowing what we would be in need of, what we would be faced with. And it's up to us to be following them and doing them. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. I'd like to go back and just read the first four verses here. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And again, when I look at that, he's gone to prepare a place for us. We need to be preparing ourselves to meet him. Again, doing those things will draw us closer unto him, to keep us in that straight path that we have entered in before him. That when he does return, we will be prepared. This time has been given to us for that. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And I know again, that's where we want to be. I'd like to also turn into Ether in the fifth chapter. And I know our brother Darren used this in a sermon a while back at the East Local. And it's kind of stayed on my mind. Because I know in this one verse, that's where I am, that I'm weak before him. This is page 748, Ether, the fifth chapter, and I'm going to start, I think, with the 27th verse. And when I had said this, the Lord, and this is Moroni, when I had said this, the Lord spake unto me, saying, fools mock, but they shall mourn. And my grace is sufficient for the meek, that they shall take no advantage of your weakness. And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weaknesses. I give unto men weaknesses that they may be humble. And I know that I have many weaknesses, but I know that the Lord has been with me and blessed me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. Behold, I will show unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will show unto them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. And I, Moroni, having heard these words, was comforted and said, O Lord, thy righteous will be done. For I know that thou workest unto the children of men according to their faith. For the brother of Jared said unto the mountain, Zeron, remove, and it was removed. And if he had had not faith, it would not have moved. Wherefore thou workest after men have faith, for thus did thou manifest thyself unto the disciples. And I know that we do need that steadfast faith in our Lord. For after they had had faith and to speak in thy name, thou didst show thyself unto them in great power. And I also remember that thou hast said that thou hast prepared a house for man, yea, even among the mansions of thy Father, in the which man might have a more excellent hope. Wherefore man must have hope, must hope, or he cannot receive an inheritance in the place which thou hast prepared. And again, I know that's where we want to be, what we're looking forward to, being with the Lord. And I remember that thou hast said that thou hast loved the world, even unto the laying down of thy life for the world, that thou mightest take it again to prepare a place for the children of men. And now I know that this love which thou hast had for the children of men is charity, Wherefore, except men shall have charity, they cannot inherit the place which thou hast prepared in the mansions of thy Father. And again, I know that's where we want to be with our Heavenly Father. And as he tells us again here that there has been a spot prepared, a place that we need, again, to be preparing ourselves to meet him. I'd also turn into Romans and just read a few verses. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. Romans 8th chapter. I'll start with the 31st verse. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God, love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And to me, that should be so strengthening to us, that no one can separate us from that love of God, the love of our Heavenly Father. But I always come back to look at myself to make sure that I don't separate myself from him. We know that he won't separate himself from us, but I need to be careful I don't separate myself from him. I'd like to go back into the Book of Mormon and use a scripture I used in Springfield a few weeks ago. And this is 3 Nephi in the 8th chapter. Third Nephi, 8th chapter. And to me, again, I believe this shows the love that the Lord has for his people. And to me, I like this chapter among the other ones here. It was when the Lord was here, the brothers and sisters on this continent, and how that must have been when he was with them, teaching them, praying with them. And we'll start with the first verse. Behold, now it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he looked round about again on the multitude, and he said unto them, behold, my time is at hand. I perceive that you are weak, that you cannot understand all the words which I am commanded of the Father to speak unto you at this time. Therefore, go into your homes and ponder upon the things which I have said, and ask the Father in my name that ye may understand, and prepare your minds for tomorrow. And I come unto you again." And I know that's what we need to be doing. That as we are here, as the Lord is talking to them and is telling them to go to their homes, ponder upon the things which they have heard, as I think we need to do as we come here to worship, to hear his word. When we leave here, and I know I fall short in that, to go home, to think on those things that have been brought out. And as it says here, and ask the Father, and this is the Lord speaking, and ask the Father in my name that ye may understand. And I know that I need to do that. Ask the in the Father's name, that I ask the Father that I may understand. Because I know on my own understanding that I cannot do that. And prepare your minds for tomorrow, and I come unto you again. And again, the same there. As we come to our services, if it be preaching or prayer service, prepare ourselves, prepare our minds that we may receive what the Lord may have for us, if it is a spoken word, or in our prayers, our testimonies before the Lord. Prepare ourselves that we may do that. I'm going into the fourth verse. "But now I go unto the Father, and to show myself unto the lost tribes of Israel, for they are not lost unto the Father, for he knoweth whither he has taken them." And I know that as the Father knows where the lost children of Israel are, he knows where each one of our brothers and sisters are. They are not here with us now, with us here today. And as it tells that he went to them, we know that the Father can go unto those who are not with us here today. And we need to make that a matter of prayer, that the Lord would go to those that are not with us, that he would touch their hearts, their minds, that they may know where they want to be or know where they need to be, and they would want to be here. And we need each one of us to make it a matter of prayer, that they would listen to that Spirit from the Lord as he touches their hearts, their minds. And I know the Lord can do this. And I know he did it to me. I know after I got out of high school and was in a service, church wasn't the first thing on my mind. But I had a shipment overseas at the time. It's where you really didn't want to go back then. It was in 68. But the Lord was with me there. And he let me know that I needed to be going to church, that I needed to be reading and scriptures, studying his scriptures. He let me know that. And I'm thankful now. It was about 50 years ago. I'm thankful that I did listen to him. A lot of times I don't listen, maybe the best, but I did listen to him. And I'm thankful I did. And maybe that's why I thought afterwards, maybe that's why I had the shipment. Maybe I was on more of a condition where I would listen to him. But I'm thankful that I did listen to him at that time. And go in that fifth verse. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken, thus spoken, he cast his eyes round about again on the multitude. And behold, they were in tears, and did look steadfastly upon him as if they would ask him to tarry a little longer. And I know that's how we have been in a lot of our services, in prayer and testimony, when the Spirit has been there, that we had been in tears and want that Spirit to stay there with us. And I thought I heard yesterday somebody say that during the cantata, they had those tears of joy from the Lord. One of the six verses, and he said unto them, behold, my bowels are filled with compassion toward you. Have ye any that are sick among you? Bring them hither. Have you any that are lame or blind or halt or maimed or leprous or that are withered or that are deaf or that are afflicted in any manner? Bring them hither and I will heal them. For I have compassion upon you. My bowels are filled with mercy, for I perceive that ye desire that I should shew unto you what I have done unto your brethren at Jerusalem. For I see that your faith is sufficient that I should heal you. And I know that each one of us have had blessings from the Lord. And again, we do need that steadfast, that strong faith, that as we go before the Lord, we know that we can be healed from him. And it came to pass that when he had thus spoken, all the multitude with one accord did go forth with their sick and with their afflicted, with their lame and with their blind and with their dumb, and all they that were afflicted in any manner. And he did heal them, every one as they were brought before him. And they did all, both they who had been healed and they who were whole, bow down at his feet and did worship him. And I know that's where the Lord wants us, that when we have these blessings, that we go to him and thank him. That when our brothers and sisters have these blessings, that we go to him and thank him for these blessings. And as many as could come for the multitude did kiss his feet, insomuch that they did bathe his feet with their tears. And I just can't imagine, that love and joy they felt there at that time with the Lord with them. And it came to pass that he commanded that their little children should be brought. So they brought the little children and sat them down upon the ground round about him. And Jesus stood in the midst, and the multitude gave way till they had all been brought before unto him. And it came to pass when they had been brought, and Jesus stood in the midst, he commanded the multitude that they should kneel down upon the ground. And it came to pass when they had knelt upon the ground, Jesus groaned within himself and saith, Father, I am troubled because of the wickedness of the people of the house of Israel. And I kind of look at that verse, and if he is troubled because of the wickedness of the people of the house of Israel, what he must feel like when he looks around in the world today. We see the things that are happening in the world today. And when he had said these words, he himself also knelt upon the earth. And behold, he prayed unto the Father. And the things which he prayed cannot be written. And the multitude did bear record who heard him. And after this manner, do they bear record? The eye has never seen, neither has the ear heard before so great and marvelous things as we saw and heard Jesus speak unto the Father. Again, that just must have been such a great love there to feel that. And no tongue can speak, neither can there be written by any man, neither can the hearts of men conceive so great and marvelous things as we both saw and heard Jesus speak. And no one can conceive of the joy which filled our souls at the time we heard him pray for us unto the Father. Again, that joyous time they must have had. And that joy we should have, that is, we know as we go in our prayers, that the Lord does go to the Father for us also. He hears our prayers. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of praying unto the Father, he arose. But so great was the joy of the multitude that they were overcome. And it came to pass that Jesus spake unto them and bade them arise. And they arose from the earth. And he said unto them, Blessed are ye because of your faith. And now, behold, my joy is full. And I know that's how we want to be, that the Lord can look upon us, and as it says here, as he looks upon us, that his joy would be full, that we are doing those things that are right and pleasing before him, that we have that love for him and love for one another, that is, again, his joy would be full. And when he had said these words, he wept. And the multitude bear record of it. And he took their little children one by one and blessed them and prayed unto the Father for them. And again, I believe such a great blessing that we have, that we can have our children blessed. And I know, looking back, that I know in my life, I've been blessed in so many ways, and when I was young, looking back at things that they weren't wrong things, but things I shouldn't have done. And that of my daughters, where he's watched over and protected them. And as they looked to behold, they cast their eyes toward heaven, and they saw the heavens open. They saw angels descending out of heaven, as it were, in the midst of fire. And they came down and circled those little ones. And they were circled about with fire. And the angels did minister unto them. And the multitude did see and hear and bear record. And their record, and they know their record is true. And they, all of them, did see and hear every man for himself. And what that must have been like, to see their little children circled with angels. And we know that we have angels that can watch over us. I'm going to skip down the next part. Our brother read in sacrament service yesterday, I believe. I'd like to go down to maybe the 42nd verse. And I give unto you a commandment that ye shall do these things. That's the sacrament. And if ye shall always do these things, blessed are ye, for ye are built upon my rock. But whoso among you shall do more or less than these are not built upon my rock, but are built upon a sandy foundation. And when the rains descend and the floods come and the winds blow and beat upon them, they shall fall. And the gates of hell are already open to receive them. Therefore, again, where we want to be, these next few verses. Therefore, blessed are ye if ye shall keep my commandments, which the Father has commanded me that I should give unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall you pray in my church. And we know that this is his church. Among my people who do repent and are baptized in my name, behold, I have behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you. And we know that the Lord has set that example for us. And as it says the first part, he is that light before us. I had just two more scriptures I'd like to read. My prayer is that I may have brought some scriptures to our mind this night that will help us in the day and the time that we live in to draw ourselves closer to our Heavenly Father in the doing of that which is right and pleasing before him. I want to read just one verse in Alma, the 19th chapter. It's page 451. Now the decrees of God are unalterable. Therefore the way is prepared that whosoever will may walk therein and be saved. And we know that the decrees of God are unalterable. His scriptures, his commandments, they don't change. He knew what we would be in need of. I think we can look around us in the world today and man is trying to change some of that. Therefore, the way is prepared, and we know that he has prepared the way for us through his scriptures, through his commandments, that sacrifice that he has given to us, that whosoever will, and there it comes down to us, that whosoever will may walk therein and be saved. And I know, that, again, that is the desire. Each one of us to be walking that way of our Lord, that we will be with him. And also on page 82 and 83, just a couple verses. I think I'll read the 13th verse, page 82, this is 4th Nephi. And they did not walk any more after the performances and the ordinances of the law of Moses. But they did walk after the commandments which they had received from their Lord and their God, continuing in fasting and prayer and meeting together oft, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. And I know that's where he wants us. And they continued in fasting and prayer and meeting together off both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. And going over to the 17th verse. And when I read these few verses, it kind of makes me think what Zion might be like. And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God, which did dwell in the hearts of the people. There were no envies, nor strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lions, nor murderers, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who have been created by the hand of God. And I know that's where he wants us. He wants us to be that happy people before him. There were no robbers, no murderers, neither were there Lamanites, nor any manner of ites, but they were in one, the children of Christ and heirs to the kingdom of God. And I know that's where he wants us. He wants us to be that one with each other and that one in him, one before him. And how can this happen? And it came to pass that there was no contention land because of the love of God, which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And I know that's where we want to be, that love for our Heavenly Father. in our lives. Thank you.